Coming, Lord God, there's been a glorious day that's already taken place, and because of that, we can say that you are the exalted and the resurrected one, Jesus. And we join our voices. We've been doing that here this morning with your very first followers. Just as you gave them, so you've given us a living hope and a great joy. You're alive. You're risen from the dead. And you're the good news that changes everything for us, changes everything for the world that we live in. Because of your resurrection, Jesus, we're not afraid to die. We're not afraid to live either. We have a future that we can start to live right here, right now, and we can be assured because of what you've done of living forever. Because of your resurrection, Jesus, we count ourselves to be the most grateful of people. You're at work restoring, you're renewing our world right now. You're going to do it tomorrow, the week after, the years to come. You're the new creation, and one day you are the one who's going to turn everything sad to become truth. It'll become untrue. We pray, Lord, that you would reassure us day in, day out, that you're turning, making broken things new, healed. We say yes with everything within us. We say yes to your good work. And Lord, we say too that we do long and we yearn. Come, Lord Jesus. We yearn for that great day that's still to come, when you will finish everything that you've started. Right now, in between, Lord, we bring you all of the painful realities of our lives and of our world. We couldn't want for more than to see you, to be at the center of each life and each situation. And indeed, by your Spirit, we see you there right now, not the one who's far away and removed, but the one who's at work from the inside out. We thank you for your words, for your work of victory over sin, your victory over everything that destroys and robs people, robs us, Lord, of freedom and life. We thank you for being peace, for being strength, your wisdom, your counsel. We thank you for filling us with fresh resolve to live within the realm of your rule. Lord, come and let the fullness of your life be expressed through us so your gracious and good rule is seen and visible to others. We thank you this morning for the gift of Elijah, for Nick and Elizabeth. We thank you for his gift into our church family. He's that. He's from you, given to us. We pray that you would grow Elijah in body and mind and spirit. Lord God, in the light of the hope that you've given us, the love that you have for us, set us free. We ask this from deep, deep within, where you dwell by your Spirit. Set us free to spend all of our days living to your glory. Let our lives shine with your glory in this world. And we pray in the glory-filled, indeed the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Ian's going to read scripture for us.
Today's scriptures reading are from Romans 6, verses 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we were died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we now know that since Christ was raised from the dead, we cannot die again. Death has no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the holy words.
Matthew, yeah. I just made that formal. I called you Matthew, but before you get, well, you can put your notes and everything on. Yeah. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on this guy. Believe it or not, where's Mark Scobie? Wave your hand. Mark convenes the lay advisory committee for Matthew's TFE, or theological field education here. All the reports are in on you, and I had to write one too, and it's in on you. It was, it was gold seal all the way, okay. But he told me this, that, you see, he's speaking this morning, but he's also going to moderate the session meeting on Tuesday, and he told me that he's six papers to do. He's got two of them done, no exams, so the next 2 weeks are going to be furious for him. Yeah. Keep him in your prayers. Well, you have four papers left to go, and then, well, we don't know what happens then. But let's pray just before he speaks that God will order his path and direct his way. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that Matt has been to us through this past year. And we pray now that as he finishes, you will give him strength to finish well. Thank you for the gift he is to speak this morning. We've come, Lord, to know that through him, you do speak. There's favor that rests on him. So anoint him to your honor and your glory as he speaks this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, George. Actually, I'd like to invite you to join me in prayer once more. Let us pray. Speak to us, Word of God. Speak to us. As we sang earlier, we come alive. We're alive when you speak to us through the living word that's Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd open us up to your presence today. So make us receptive to the gospel message, to be challenged, to be emboldened, to be lifted up. God, we pray this all in the Easter name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was talking to a number of people last week, and it sounds like there was a lot of traveling going on for Easter. And for myself and Lisa, my wife, we sort of bounced back and forth between Ancaster and Waterdown, and then also down to Niagara-on-the-Lake and back here. And while we were in Ancaster on Saturday night at Lisa's parents' place, lo and behold, late at night, we got a phone call from China. It was actually a Skype call over the computer. And on the other side was Lisa's cousin, Rhiannon, who's been teaching in China over the past 9 months. And the timing of it was really cool because it was like getting a call from the future. They're 12 hours ahead there. And so she was already celebrating Easter morning while we were back stuck in Saturday night. And after the video call, I remember thinking to myself that that's actually not a bad illustration of what Easter's all about. Sometimes I can't help but think that we're still very much stuck in Saturday night. It's kind of like the lyrics to a song that was on the radio by the Canadian hip-hop artist Chaos called "Every Day is Saturday Night, but I can't wait for Sunday morning." Some of you may remember that song. And with that song came to mind the idea that with all of the horrible events that we've been witnessing, even over the past couple of weeks with Pakistan and Belgium, we bear witness to the fact that evil and death are still very much present in this world. We're not in Sunday morning yet. Our world is still sleeping. And many times we sort of slip into this nightmare state that we feel like we'll never get out of. I don't know if you've ever had one of those. I've sometimes had this terrible nightmare where I'm just running, right? And you have the blocks of concrete on your feet and you just can't wake up until Lisa pokes me awake and says, "You gotta wake up." But we're sort of in that state where we can't wake up. And it made me think last week on Good Friday, when the absolute worst thing imaginable happened to the disciples. They lost their friend and their leader who was crucified, and he was killed and buried, and they just fled into hiding, living this nightmare that they couldn't escape. But suddenly, as if out of nowhere, something broke into that nightmare and jolted them awake. And it jolts us awake today. Not a phone call from China, but more like a late night visitor knocking at the door. We get a visitor who's already living in that new day on Sunday morning. Jesus has gone through death and out into God's new world. And what's more, he's come back to tell us and to show us that this new day has, in fact, dawned. And even though we're groggy from a lack of good sleep and it still seems dark out, the world has begun. And we're called to rise up and get busy. So like Pastor George said last week, the resurrection of Jesus, his rising from the dead, is a total game changer. And when we accept this amazing news, this gospel message into our hearts, it radically changes everything. But that begs the question, if God's future has come bursting into the present with Easter, how do we get on board with that? How do we, who have fallen so short of the glory of God, participate in this awesome thing that God's doing through Jesus Christ? Well, thankfully, Jesus himself tells us, answering with the sacrament we call baptism. And at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, the risen Christ tells his followers, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And later today, at the 11 o'clock service, a number of people are getting baptized. They're members of the Lillycrop, Eagle, and Forrester family, and they will be participating in something that I believe is one of the most significant events in the life of a Christian, to be baptized. The children, Vance, Molly, Reed, and Axel, are going to be baptized, and their moms, Julia and Jenny, will be giving a profession of faith. And a little later, I want to speak about how those things are interconnected. But for now, I want to acknowledge that what's about to take place. And if you're here for the 11 o'clock service, I invite you to stay for that. That is an incredibly special time. And we as a church need to sort of learn what that's all about. What is important about baptism? And you may be asking yourself, you could probably put it this way. Why would the risen Christ tell a handful of Jews to go out into the entire world and pour water over people in the name of God? What's that supposed to do exactly? And they're pretty good questions, and I'm sure they're ones that Paul got a lot from the Gentile Christians that were joining his churches. And I think it's significant that whenever he teaches about baptism, he doesn't take what we might consider to be the straightforward approach. What do I mean by that? Well, take, for example, our practice of the Lord's Supper. When Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, he links the sacrament to the event of the Last Supper. And that's pretty logical, right? That one meal reflects the other. And so you'd think he'd do something very similar when he talks about baptism. But he does something unexpected. He doesn't connect our baptism to another event like the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. He actually never refers to that event, but as we saw from the reading from Romans 6, as well as other passages from Galatians and Colossians, baptism is always unequivocally rooted in the events of Good Friday and Easter. According to Paul, we're buried with Jesus through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So through baptism, then, God calls each and every one of us to our own personal Easter experience. Now, just as an aside, both baptism and our profession of faith are very much personal experiences, but they're not private or individualistic ones. They happen in the midst of the believing community, all of us. And when we, in turn, stand up and promise to uphold and cultivate this new life in the believers, we do this not just as Knox Waterdown, but also as representatives of the universal church, God's family that transcends all time, all distances, and all denominational distinctions. Because we are held together by one common baptism, we trust that we can stand and speak with one voice on behalf of all believers, whether they be at a church down the street or as far as Nashville, Tennessee, for example. And that's where some of the family members are going to be going to. We need to uphold that truth that we are all one in Christ when we stand up and we affirm the new believers. And so through the waters of baptism and surrounded by the promises of the community of faith, we participate in Jesus' death and our old life is buried. I could probably use the prop over there. I don't know. That's we're put into the box. And the old sinful way of doing things where everything is Saturday night is washed away. And then we rise up in his resurrection to a new life that's completely oriented to the promise of Sunday morning, God's future world. Now, of course, we're not yet in God's future world, and so we need to die to our sins daily through repentance. And that's such a big topic that I think I'll leave it to George to talk about that at another time. But if we look at baptism, we can see it as a very tangible, very physical sign and seal that we are claimed by God. It was God who acted first. It was God who took the initiative of Good Friday and Easter Sunday saying yes to each and every one of us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God draws us into those events. He incorporates us into the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we finally say our yes to God. So just looking at that previous statement that I made about God being the one who acts first, you may be thinking to yourselves, what about infant baptism? And I was a little hesitant to talk about it because it's such a challenging and contentious issue, but it's one that's really important to discuss. And it's one that I can't really do justice to in the time that I have right now. But basically, in our stance as a church, the reason why we baptize infants is because we believe that our choice to belong to God is secondary to God's choice of us. If baptism were solely based on our own faith response, then infants couldn't get baptized. But I hope that everything up to this point has shown that that's not truly the case. God is the primary actor in baptism because of what he first did for us through Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. Our profession of faith, our response always comes second to that, comes after that. The question then, of course, is how long after that? Well, as long as it takes. It could be a few seconds after baptism, or it could be decades after it. In God's great patience, he gives us as much time as we need to say yes to him with our profession of faith. It's almost like a marriage proposal, if you think about it, anybody here proposed to somebody, you had all of that preparatory work, you got the ring, you paid, 3 months' salary for the ring, and you in your mind have already said yes, right? And then you go to the person, the one that you love so much that you want to marry, and you get down on one knee, and you say, "Will you marry me?" And for me, it was a few minutes of waiting because Lisa wasn't expecting me to propose. So that sort of anxiety, thank goodness God is far more patient than I am. And that's what it's like, sort of, in baptism, that God has already purchased that very expensive ring for us. And he's come and he's proposing. He said, "I love you. Will you say yes to me?" And then he waits for us. And so this morning, we continue to celebrate God's future breaking into the present as we were celebrating last week with Easter morning. And we today need to recognize that we have a baptismal call to be a part of that. We're very much incorporated into the Easter event. So let's rise up. Let's throw off that troubled sleep of Saturday night and pray for a vision to see where God can and will make Sunday morning happen in our personal lives, in our family life, in our community, and not least of all, in our world. To God be all glory, honor, and praise. Amen.